We'll continue our teaching this morning and lining up with God's Word to receive healing. Last week, we sort of finished up in the areas looking at different ways that we receive, that we can receive healing. In other words, we looked at scriptural ways that people were healed. So God doesn't have any one way that He heals. And people, you know, need to understand that. Sometimes people get confused because of the emphasis on just certain ways that God does things, and we get over into those things and think that they're the only ways that God does things. And that's why, you know, we looked over those, because we've been in our search here that we've been doing and walking through the steps of the things we need to believe, and we looked at the fact that we needed to believe that it was God's will for everybody to be healed, and also that we looked at God as being the giver, and then God is a liberal giver. But we also, then we went on to look at the ways He gives healing. How does He give healing? And that's, we're going through those. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to take and look at one specific area, method that God heals. And really, it's a method that most of us, you know, and it's the laying on of hands. But we want to look at it specifically because we're going to find out some specific things about the laying on of hands, and look at it as from an area of a ministry to minister healing. One of the things that we want to do is always remember whether you are in a position you want to receive healing or you want to minister to somebody. You want to listen to the Holy Spirit. Not, you know, we can do things, you know, we could lay hands on people, but we want to listen to our spirit because God wants to do something else. Sometimes He wants to minister to a person in a different way. I mean, I've had numbers of times that's happened. God, you know, you're generally going along a direction, but God tells us to do something else. Well, you need to learn to obey that. Even for receiving healing, sometimes God wants you to do, as like I said, when I first got born again, God never would allow me to have anybody else lay hands on me and pray for me. He wouldn't let me do that. Yet the laying on of hands is really, we look from a scriptural standpoint, going to find that it was one of the major ways that God ministered to people and ministers healing to people. Yet God wouldn't allow me to do that because He wanted to teach me how to receive healing myself. And we need to understand how important that is, because in the areas of development, God wants us to develop in an areas into higher level. You know, he ain't going to want to keep you always on the same level all the time. And where people make a big mistake is God does something for them on a certain level, and they want to stay at that level for the rest of their life. They never try to develop out of that. And eventually that quits working for them. Because when you can't disobey God in an area and then expect Him to keep taking care of things. God always expects us to be growing. Now, if you think from the standpoint, when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him that, he said, I didn't put the name of Jesus and gifts of healing in the church to heal the church. We talked about this before. He said, I didn't put them in there for that. Yet, the church has operated in that level. 99.9% of people who believe in healing operate on that level all the time and never leave it. Yet he said, I didn't put it in there. He said Christians are supposed to be healed, you know, just from the end of the spirit. It's in them. They're born again. The life of God's in them. They're supposed to act in faith on that. He said gifts of healing in the name of Jesus were put in the church for ministering healing to the world. See, actually, Christians should not need gifts of healings to get healed. Because by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. But see, Christians don't believe that. They don't believe that. They believe that I have to go try to get it somewhere. I got to get healing. And see, as starting off, there's nothing the matter with starting off on that lower level, because everybody's going to start there. Everybody's going to start at that place, you know, where we don't have the revelation. So we're operating on a lower level, but it's not good to stay there, because it keeps staying on that lower level all the time. What happens, it allows the devil to bring stuff to you and put stuff on you, and you're trying to get healed all the time. So a person never comes to the place to walk in divine health. They never come to that place. And so God wants us to. Now, we go, like, say, if you took Jesus and we look at Jesus' ministry, Jesus ministered to Israel. Israel had a covenant with God on healing, but they weren't walking in it. You know, they had dumb things they were doing, like you can't get healed. Healing's works, and you can't do that on the Sabbath. Well, they didn't do it any day of the week. Religion, but that's just the way religion operates, and you need to understand that. People, you know, they designate things to certain things, even though the scriptures don't, but their religious traditions do, and men follow the traditions. It's the traditions that are more important than anything. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin, I remember his story he told when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, when he got the revelation about being filled with the Holy Spirit, he said there was a minister that was holding some meetings at this church, and he went down to the pastor's house. There was this evangelist was there, and the minister told him, he said, he went down, and Brother Hagin said, I want to have hands laid on me. I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And the guy said, well, why don't you wait till tonight to the service? And he said, you know, that was typical of them. You know, you always had to wait, you know, just put it off to something else. He said, no. He said, lay hands on me. He said, I'll receive quick. You know, he wanted it right then. But, you know, they had their traditions about how they did things. And the traditions were more important than actually the things that went on. And people have that today. People get their traditions of things. And I talked about before, you know, if we would look at the prophet Elisha, you know, when Naaman came to him, and Naaman expected him, he said, Elisha didn't come out and talk to him. He sent his servant out and told him, go down and dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And he said, he was mad. He said, he didn't come out and wave his hand over me or do nothing. I've watched people do that. I've watched people get upset over that because, you know, they didn't have what they... It didn't go within their tradition of how they thought it ought to be done. They were more interested in the tradition than they were in the actual healing. You know, they get stuck on those things. So we need to be careful that we don't do that. We don't want to get stuck in areas because we can limit God. But we want to find out something in the ministry, because in looking at the areas of ministering and healing to people, in the Mark, the 6th chapter, an account with Jesus here in his ministry, in Mark, the 6th chapter, and we want to see something because of the laying on of hands, and the importance of it, especially in ministering to people in this manner. This can help in some more difficult situations. In Mark, the 6th chapter, I'm starting at the first verse, it says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But he said, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. It says, now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So here Jesus is. Jesus came to his own town, because they knew him, and he made the statement about the prophet, it doesn't have honor. You know, they didn't deny the fact that big works hadn't been happening through him. They didn't deny that. But they're questioning, they get over. In other words, it often amazes me. They know the miracles that Jesus did. So he comes to their town, you know, because they know what he did. In fact, one of the translations, the writers of the Gospels put down in there the fact that he had came from Capernaum when he came there. So down in Capernaum, he did all these miracles, and they said, do in Capernaum, do here what you did in Capernaum. You know, and really, this is not a statement of faith. This was a challenge. And Jesus didn't take their challenge. You don't have to take people's challenges. People will put a challenge, well, if God heals, why don't you just go around and heal everybody? So we can't, because you're unbelief. He can't, because of you. You're the reason why. And he won't do it. Well, really, that's what's going on here. What's going on here, their unbelief, God is not doing anything. Now, so, and he makes a statement about it. What? They aren't honoring his office. They aren't honoring who he is. It's number one, if you don't honor the office that a person is in, that office, and you don't honor it, God won't manifest himself through it for you. You need to understand that. That's God's gift in an individual. You can't not honor the gift in an individual. And see, this is what they're doing because, well, he was born here and raised here. Who's he? You know. Really, they're offended by him. You know, ha! Who's he here? We know this guy. In other words, they're looking at the natural side of it. They don't look at the God side. So God is not going to do things for them. And you need to understand this is the things that happen. But it says here, he couldn't do any mighty work. In other words, the mighty works that he did in Capernaum he did a number of mighty things. Down in Capernaum, the one night he ministered, it says about that everybody came to him and said, we're all healed. He's not doing any of that here. He's not doing. In fact, he says here he couldn't do any mighty, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. One translation says that he laid his hand on a few people with minor ailments and healed them. And really, the idea of that is because if he couldn't do any mighty work, then there wouldn't have been any mighty healings. Major things would not have taken place. But we want to look at it from this standpoint, though. I want you to see this, because through the laying on of hands, he could do certain things. He could at least do a little bit. And so we want to look at that fact, because this is one of the ways that God ministers healing. And we're going to look at some of the examples of this, of laying on of hands, and things that Jesus did, especially from this complicated area. The laying on of hands comes from, when we lay hands on people, we need to understand this. Laying on of hands is a point of contact. I don't know if you just listened to the teachings or anything that I did on the spiritual laws and things that I taught on Wednesday nights. I had back here not long ago on spiritual laws, and one of them is contact and transmission, and that's one of them is laying on of hands on people. Is understand this, it absolutely operates no different than, say, with electricity running through a circuit or anything of that, where something is transmitted from one thing to another. Now, they can actually light bulbs. I mean, we could take, when I worked at, in the service, we had microwave antennas, and it was a parabolic dish, and we'd have these dishes that were anywhere from 4 to 6 feet around, shoot a line of sight transmission to another tower, line of sight somewhere, you know, in a long distance away, shoot a direct shot to it. You'll see microwave dishes on top of towers that they use at different places and that stuff. You'll see microwave dishes. They shoot to another tower. And the reason they do that, that's really a good line of sight of communication, because they're able to transmit a lot of information through it, but also it's very reliable. If anything else happens where other transmission stuff can be knocked out, it'll keep working pretty well. You'd have to get something directly in its sight to block it. And so they use it. But, you know, we would put out so much power in that transmission. You could take a light bulb. We could take a light bulb and tie it to it. You could tell whether an antenna was up or not, was running. You take a light bulb, put it on a thing, stick it up in the air in front of it, and the light bulb would light. The amount of power that was coming off that antenna would light the light bulb. So you weren't making direct contact by touching, but it was being transmitted to it. It was actually being transmitted to it and doing that. The laying on of hands is direct contact. And we find here that under direct contact, that something could be transmitted to somebody through direct contact. Direct contact is always much more reliable. It's just like in your home, your electricity on direct contact through the wires that run through and you have switches turn off is more reliable than if somebody, and they have them ready, houses that don't have any wiring in them, they transmit a signal that lights the light. But it's the amount of power that comes, it's transmitted to it. That's good, but if anything interrupts that signal, in any way, if anything interrupts it, where direct line works better. And we need to understand one of the things where the church has hurt in these areas is because the laying on of hands, majority of the time, most Christians, it is just a ritual to do it. And that's why it don't work. It's not ritual. Ritual is never involved in it. Laying on of hands is about contact and transmission. It's about you transmitting what's in you to somebody else. Understand this. Would Jesus Christ have ever told the church? Now, we read over in Mark, in the 16th chapter, where Jesus said that these signs would follow those who believe in his name. One of them was to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. That was one of the signs. Now, you can't give somebody something you don't have. Did you ever notice that? You know, you couldn't give somebody $1 million if you didn't have $1 million, could you? You'd never give them $1 million. You know, even from a disease standpoint, you couldn't give somebody a disease you ain't got, could you? You couldn't give somebody. So in other words, you couldn't give people things that you don't have. Spiritually, it's identical. It's identical. It's no different in the spirit. Now, if Jesus told you to lay hands on the sick and they would recover, you must have healing power in you. You must have it available to pass through you, or you couldn't give it to somebody. See, this is why stuff don't work. This is why things don't work. It's because most Christians think we're praying and asking God to give it to that person, and the laying on of hands is formality. No, it is going to go through me to that person. That's why I'm laying hands on them. There's no point to laying hands on somebody if nothing's going to go through me to do it. It is going to go through to me. Why? Because there's healing power in me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. If you understand that, you'll understand why you can be healed. The healing power is already in you. You got it. You're not trying to get it. You got it. If you're saved, you got it. And so sometimes, see, people are on different levels of understanding. Many people don't understand that about the Spirit of God in them and healing in them, but we can minister healing to them by the laying on of hands. We can do that. Ones who understand it can minister it to them. But we do it, why? By faith, we lay hands on individuals. Why? For power to go through us into them. The power, the healing power will be transmitted from us to them. That's how God does it. And it's by point of contact. See, some people say, well, you know, he was able. Why? We need to understand this. The reason Jesus could do this is because of point of contact. Point of contact is the most reliable. It is on anything. The point of contact is the most reliable way to do anything. If you could, you know, anytime you have something where there's something in between that could mess it up, if you can get point of contact, you're going to have better, you know, reliability. You know, it's sort of like, you know, the TV tower, the days when we didn't use cable and all that kind of stuff. You know, the closer to the tower you were, the more reliable the signal was, wasn't it? Now, you know, so in other words, if you were hooked to a direct cable from the TV transmitter to your house, that would be the most reliable, wouldn't it? A direct contact. That'd be the most reliable. And so we need to get this, is this point of contact. When we're talking about ministry, here we see Jesus ministering point of contact. He proves by what he did here, and this is why I always appreciate John G. Lake, because John G. Lake said it wasn't enough for him to understand that God heals. He wouldn't know how he did it. Here we're getting some information of how to do it. How we do it. See, there's always a manward side. Most people are always about the Godward side. They're always, well, if it didn't happen, then it wasn't God's, his will to do it. Well, and they miss it all the time and that kind of stuff because it's the manward side. See, the point of contact thing, Jesus said to all Christians, now think of this, when he ascended, he said the people who believe in him and believe in his name, these ones would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Now, he named that off as the dominant way that most of the time would be ministered. You will find this. When you deal in the areas of gifts of the Spirit and other different ways, You will see them more predominantly through ministers than you do through individuals. And why? Because God anoints people to stand in offices, and they are signs that verify the office and verify that individual. But now sometimes those signs, just like here, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power to do good, go about, do good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil because God was with him. But yet we find he's limited because of unbelief. He is limited. Yet he was able to minister to some people to help somebody. He was. So we know this. When God gave us this thing and said about laying on of hands, that any believer could do that, he's talking about us, about the most reliable way. One of the most reliable ways that we can minister when nothing else works, we can lay hands on. But he's telling all believers, you can do this. When believers sit around and want a healing ministry, when you got born again, the day you were born again, you got a healing ministry. You got the ministry of healing. You could lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus and they would recover. You could do that. Now, most people never find out about it or never believe it. I don't know which. But it's there. You can do that by faith. You know, you don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to have that happen. You don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost for that to happen. Kenneth Hagin said they had more people in his church when he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was a pastor, a young pastor. He was a teenager pastor. He said we had more people get healed in our church, he said, than the Spirit-filled churches did. Why? Because they always relied on gifts of the Spirit manifestation. He said we prayed to people by faith, lay hands on them by faith. They never laid hands on people by faith because they didn't understand it. They thought you had to have an anointing to be able to do that. So they'd just wait for the anointing, and when the anointing would come, they would go do it. They didn't understand laying hands on by faith. So we see Jesus was able to minister in spite of this unbelief that was going on there. He could at least help some folks. Now, I've been around areas at times, and sometimes there's just so much unbelief that people get into, man, it gets, depending on the individuals. These individuals had to be in some kind of cooperation with him. They wouldn't have got this if they wouldn't have been in some, but you know, there's some people probably believed on him there, but the majority are operating in unbelief. And this is one thing that can really affect things. You need to understand that. I've told you guys before, you know, sometimes going in the hospitals and stuff like that, I like to go into the hospital. Like, I don't hardly ever visit somebody in the evening in a hospital. I don't like to go there because relatives are there, even Christian relatives. You don't want to be around them. When they get in hospitals, it's instant unbelief. Oh, they'll talk about we're praying for the individual. Well, you just go sit there and listen to them, and half of them, I like to throw them out. You know, you're in the fourth floor, you want to chuck them out the window. You want to get rid of them. You can't minister with that unbelief. And we're going to find out that Jesus couldn't minister because this is not the only time. He couldn't minister to people because of unbelief. There's problems with this, and we need to understand this. It affects person. I've watched people doing everything they can to stand in faith, but they're putting up with great opposition because of the people around them. And sometimes they're Christians. You need to understand, Jesus is dealing with covenant people. And sometimes they're the big blockers. They can be the big blockers of God's will being done. You know, sometimes family can be the worst problem. Family can be the worst problem of all. And it's understanding it. You can only go, you know, so far. Just like God. God didn't take the children of Israel in until we got that unbelieving generation dead. So the next generation who he got into faith could go into the land. He had to get rid of the unbelieving generation. If he'd have held that unbelieving generation in that land, man, I'll tell you, they wouldn't have made it 20 minutes in that place. The devil would have had their lunch and the enemy would have killed them all off. He couldn't have got nothing done with them. He couldn't have got anything done. He had to get rid of that unbelieving generation so he could do something. Now, in Mark the 8th chapter, we want to go over to Mark the 8th chapter and look here again at another incident, Jesus ministering. And these are good things that can help us in the areas of ministering sometimes to people. This is why, too, is you want to be sensitive in the spirit in these ways, too. Sometimes realizing how you can minister or how you can't. We can learn a lot in this areas of things. It says, then he came to Bethsaida, verse 22 of the 8th chapter, 22. It says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Here again, we see Jesus laid hands on this guy twice in an instant. Now, you want to understand this, just like Jesus took him out, you'll see that Jesus never spit on everybody he ministered to. You need to understand and do it. It's one of the things is obeying God. I will guarantee you, today, one of the reasons why God can't minister in ways that he would like to is people won't allow him to. You know, you went into a church today and somebody had spit in the eyes of a blind man, they'd have a fit. They'd have a fit. Churches would not allow it. That's why God can't do many things that he could never do. And, you know, whether people realize it or not, if we need to deal with this, you know, is look at it. You know, your spit could have as much anointing in you as anything in your body. People need to realize that. See, people don't. See, people today. You know, John G. Lake understood things, and the church world is all dead to it today. We don't have, you know, John G. Lake, they put the bubonic plague. I mean, they did this as, I mean, scientists checked him out. They put they took froth from a person's mouth who died from bubonic plague, so it had all the living germs in, put it on his hand under a microscope and watched the plague die in his hand. And they asked him, how come? He said, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, disease can't live on my body. Disease can't live on my body. You see, Jesus, we talked about the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, that power went into his clothing. She touched his clothing. See, people don't realize God wasn't just doing something to be weird there. Jesus spit in his eyes. He put his hands on him. God told him to minister to him in that way. That's how the anointing was ministered to him. But he laid hands on him. See, people today have all their own ideas and all their own stuff and that they think about these things. But the anointing of God. But here we have again. Now, I want you to see this. He took the guy out of town. He went to Bethsaida. He didn't minister him in front of everybody. Why did he do that? Jesus being, you know, well, let's not let anybody see this. We don't want nobody to know what's going on. I'll guarantee he did the same thing as he probably couldn't have done it in town around all the unbelief. Remember we talked about Jairus, where he had to put all the unbelieving people out of the house? I'm telling you, there's things, there's levels of ministry you can never do if the majority of the people are led around it. That's why in services, people need to know this. This is one of the big problems we deal with today. Such a low level of faith in Christianity. When there's healing services, God can't do a lot of things he can't do because most people are in unbelief. They're just spectators. Don't be a spectator. If you're a spectator, you're a problem. You're working against what's going on. You see, many people want to see if something's going to happen. It's just like when you go to pray, and I've done it many times. I ask people, the Lord wants me to minister to people. You ask people to come up, and assuredly, as the sun comes up in the morning, there are people going to stand up there till they see something happen, then they're going to come up. They don't realize they're part of the problem why things don't work. They're part of the problem because they're not really in faith. And yet these people have heard the word preached. They've heard me preach this stuff hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But yet they still do the same thing. They still operate in areas of unbelief. And they don't realize how that holds things back. You know, there's things you ain't going to get done around certain groups. It ain't going to happen. You can't do it because of people's unbelief. And it really makes a difference. It's one thing about people being in unbelief because they haven't taught. The worst group to be around are the ones that have been taught. That's the worst. You won't get anything done around the ones who I've been taught and won't respond to it. People have to go to church by faith, and they have to get around things by faith. We're supposed to go believing God's going to show up and do something. We should surely expect it. You know, if people don't believe that the person who said, yeah, God wants me to minister to people, they don't believe it, what on earth would they come up for? What are they coming up for anyhow? Sometimes I wonder why people even come up. You know, if you believe God was there to do it, I want to get healed. I'm getting there. But you can tell by the way people come up. They drag along. They have no faith in nothing. By their fruits, you'll know them. What they're doing shows up where their faith is. Just like Jesus said, he put the guy down through the roof. See, those guys were desperate. We're getting there to get that guy healed. They didn't sit, you know, they said, well, let's see if anything happens in there. If it does, then we'll decide we want to take him in. Let's see. You see, we need to notice Jesus again takes somebody outside. Here again, lays hands on, he spit on the person. You know, like Brother Hagin used to say, don't start a spit doctrine. You know, don't do that. Well, just, you know, you may have had something like that happen at one time. I mean, I saw a guy, you know, one time, I mean, a person was deaf, and I saw an individual, you know, God had a guy minister, and God told him to hit the guy, and he slapped him good. I mean, he slapped him a shot. But it's interesting because he slapped him. The guy heard instantly. He got his hearing back. When he talked to the guy, he said, well, the Lord told me to hit you, so I hit you. He said, did it hurt? He said, no. He said, I heard a crack. But he said, it didn't hurt me. I didn't feel anything. He said, I just heard a crack. It was like my ears popped. And he said, I could hear. let me tell you this. You don't do that unless God told you to. You know, you don't walk around hitting people. But you know, see, sometimes people, this is church. Church gets into doctrinal error because certain things have happened in certain ways, so they just keep doing it that way. And that ain't the way you do it. You know, sometimes God will move in a different way. Say, well, why did God have him hit it? I don't know. Talk to God about it. I have no idea. He probably did it because you're Mr. Question. That's why he probably did it. Because you can never walk in faith about stuff. And he's trying to break you free. You know, they're not concerned whether the guy got healed. It's all about the way it was done. You know? I read where Smith Wigglesworth, he punched a woman in the stomach. And all the crowd was outraged. This woman had a huge tumor. It was an enormous tumor. Like the tumor was like, you know, about 100 pounds. It was huge. These were back in days, you know, they didn't have the operating things they could do today and stuff. And she had this huge tumor. And he punched her and the crowd was all upset, but the tumor disappeared. You know? People got mad in a meeting one time. This Miss Wigglesworth, he had a lot more guts than he ain't like the TV ministers and most of them that aren't on TV today. A guy came to him to get healed. He prayed for the guy. The next night, he's holding the service. A guy comes up again and he said, didn't I pray for you last night? He said, yeah, but I didn't get healed. Smith Wigglesworth kicked him in the rear end and said, you liar. He said, Jesus healed you. You just didn't take it. And he wouldn't minister to him. And he kicked him in the rear end, made him get off the stage. He said, for lying. Oh, people get all upset at him. You know, they wouldn't let Smith Wigglesworth. I really love these ministers that use Smith Wigglesworth as an example. Those same ministers, you know, they'd never allow Smith Wigglesworth in their church. Oh, they talk about the miracles, but they wouldn't want to have to see, they wouldn't want to allow their people to have happen, to have the miracles that Smith Wigglesworth did. He didn't mess with people. You played around with your religious stuff, he'd run you off. I've heard ministers, major ministers, if I name them, they're most of the most popular ones among the spirit filled. You know, just say, well, you know that John G. Lake, and you know, he's not going to the doctor thing. John G. Lake didn't believe in using doctors. He didn't believe in doctors. He believed in using doctors. And when he did his ministry and that stuff, he'd have people quit using doctors. Stop. But I mean, that guy had he had a healing ministry. None of those guys today are even close in the ballpark with him in ministry. They're not even close. I mean, proven healings, not laying hands on people in a meeting of masses and people say they're healed, go home, you know. This is guy ministered to people who are, you know, doctors have given up on. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, not counting his ministry in South Africa, just when he was in Spokane, Washington, in one city in ministering. While he was there and his ministry was there, the United States government announced that Spokane was the healthiest city in America. That man was in Spokane. 100,000 documented documented by doctors of people healed who doctors gave up on. 100,000. I mean, this is documented. See, he was big on, he was a guy sort of on the science side of things. He didn't just go say, oh, so-and-so was healed. There's loads of people out here, they say, you know, I was healed in a meeting, they go home, they didn't get healed. There's people who say they are and they ain't. And they know it. They just want to, you know, they say things, do stuff. He'd make a proof. People had a proof. You said you're going to be healed, we're going to have proof and it's done. We're going to have proof and it's true. And his ministry sure did work for somebody that, you know, that they say today, well, you know, he was a little out there. I want to get a little out there. I'd like to get that far out there. You know, let's go to that far out there. But see, people today don't want to go to that place. They don't want to go because they're in fear, afraid. It's because the ministers are afraid, and that fear is in their teaching. That fear is, they're afraid. Afraid God ain't going to do it. Afraid it ain't going to work. And so we need to be careful. But here we see this ministry, again, the laying on of hands. He takes people outside. He ministers to them, but we find out here again, laying on of hands. So we see this with the contact, the actual contact of laying hands on an individual for the areas of healing. excuse me. If we went back over, let me look at this to Mark. And we have here in I want to read it to you because it's just good. We know it, but I want to read it to you. In Mark 5, it is about Jairus. It says, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue," in verse 22, "the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.'" And I want you to get that because here we see it. He is one of the rulers, is a ruler here of the synagogue. So understand this guy, so in his community, this man is really is looked at from a spiritual leader. So we know this from the synagogue. So the laying on of hands is a well-known, you know, way of doing things. Because he says to him, "You come and lay hands on her, on my daughter, and she'll be made well." So the laying on of hands is a well-known. In fact, you go back under the law. Under the law, you'll find that the certain practices and stuff that the priests were called to is to lay hands on people. They were lay hands on them for certain things. And so it was a contact and transmission. And here we go. In this instance, we know that so the synagogue leaders knew about the laying on of hands. And they said to Jesus, "You come and lay hands on." So that must have been a common practice for them of knowing that you lay hands on people. There's a purpose of doing it. What we have to do is gain, you know, the knowledge of the fact that that was a way of transmitting something. It is not a ritual. Remove that from your thought. You know, because a lot of people are doing, like, you know, it is no more than you put your hand on somebody, it's, well, you know, they don't look at it from the standpoint of the reality that you're passing something from one individual to another. They don't believe that. They believe, well, you know, God might give them something or something. But they don't really, the point of contact is the whole point, that something you have goes to that individual. You know, Paul told Timothy about stirring up the gift to him that he got the gift, what? By the laying on of the elders. The elders laid hands on him and he got a gift. Well, he couldn't have got a gift that they didn't have. Something went from him into them. Now, I got the teaching gift from Kenneth Hagin. Now, I didn't get it by the laying on of hands. I got it in 1983. It was transmitted to me. He was laying hands on ministers, imparting things to them in camp meeting. I wasn't a minister at the time. I was just an ordinary, just Christian. You know, I knew I was called by God. I knew I was called going to be in the ministry one day, but I wasn't at the time. But God kept dealing with me about anointing and said I'd receive an anointing there. And if I went to camp meeting, and I remember I said it was Saturday afternoon service. It was Saturday afternoon. They were going to have a Saturday night service. It was the end. And I remember sitting there and I said, "Lord, you told me that God's going to come out here and I was going to receive anointing." And I said, "I've been there all week and I got nothing." I said, "From that." I said, "Oh, we've got good teaching and everything. There's a lot of good stuff go on." And they had a number of ministers, like they had Oral Roberts was one of the speakers, they had T.L. Osborne and that. They shared a lot of things about how God used them, how the anointing worked on them in their during their ministry. And they talked a lot about that, about how the anointing worked and how they God used them in ministry. And that's what they did a lot of. And I learned really a lot of good things about them and their how God uses people. Listening to that, but I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I said to him, I said, Kenneth Hagin's laying calling ministers up and he's laying hands on them. And I said, Lord, I said, if I come, I said, I come here to this meeting. You see, I'm just blunt with God. I don't know how most people are so religious. And I think that's why they don't get nothing. Cause they're just, number one, once I obey God, God tells me that he's going to do something and if he don't do it, I'm going to sure tell him about it. Cause and I was sitting there. I said, Lord, I've obeyed. I've come here. Spent money. Come here. Sitting in this place, you said I was going to get anointing here. Ain't no anointing come. You know, if God would have said to me, well, you got one. You just got to act like you believe it. I said, no, I ain't buying that. We ain't going through that. If I got an anointing on me, I'm going to know it. I know about the anointing. If the anointing's manifest on me, I know it. It ain't no fictitious thing. And so I said to him, I said, Lord, I said, we're here Saturday afternoon. Kenneth Hagin's laying place. And he said, he ain't calling up guys like me. He's calling up these ministers. And I just said, Lord, I'll just tell you this. I said, if I leave this place and don't get this anointing, I said, I ain't going to obey you no more. I said, you told me I was going to come out here and get an anointing. And I said, I've obeyed, done what you said. Now, I expect it to happen. I no sooner got that out than Kenneth Hagin got over into things that what had happened to him. He got talking, he got over in the spirit, got in tongues. He couldn't talk English. So he turned to the crowd. He's laying hands on men and he's praying for them, talking in tongues over them. And he was praying, he'd pray in tongues over people and these guys he's laying hands on. And he looked over at the congregation and he spoke out in tongues. You know, everybody's there just looking at him. What do you say? Fred Price got up and said, you know, Brother Hagin's talking, he's over in tongues, but he said, I'm going to give you interpretation. And Fred Price said, Brother Hagin, now understand, I just got done saying this to God. and all of a sudden his tongues come out and the interpretation is, if you want this anointing that he's passing on to these men, you just receive it right now out there and you can have it. And I just said, I take it, it's mine, and it dropped on me and I knew it. That anointing came on me. And I knew it. But that came on that. It didn't come through contact and transmission. But he was ministering it to people there through contact and transmission. He was. He may have been ministering other things to them also. You know, he could have been ministering other things. But they do it through the laying on of hands. One of the things is that's why you'll see from a scriptural standpoint of laying hands on people separating to the ministry. Do you know that don't... People just think that, well, I can just go do things and I don't have to have hands. No. They laid hands on people to separate them to the ministry. Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch and they were praying there and that stuff. And you go look in the book of Acts and it says that there was the prophets and the teachers were, it says they were praying and fasting and the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to. And it said they fasted and prayed and they laid hands on them and sent them out. You think that was a ritual laying on hands? You see, people, this is where people miss it big time. No. They were called to it, but they didn't get the anointing to do it till they got hands laid on them and sent out. That was no, see, people just don't get it. They just go without stuff today. Well, you know, I'm just believing God, I got it. People don't, all this stuff in the Bible is more or less just, you know, it's ritual to people. It don't mean anything to people. People don't realize how important it is. So they laid hands on them and what they separated, they said, why would if Paul and Barnabas could have just gone and done that without the elders, why would God have spoken in that meeting? Why would he have told them to separate them to that if they didn't need to separate them to that? And see, it is one thing. A ministry need, you know, it's just like there's one thing to be called and there's another thing to be sent. He said, separate them to the ministry I called them to. They were already called to that ministry, probably knew it. But they had not been separated to it yet. They had been sent. That day they got sent by the Holy Ghost, by the laying on of hands, the elders sent them out to do it. And so we need to know the importance of these kinds of things. The laying on of hands is a powerful thing. When hands are laid on people, just like with here, Jesus took this guy out. We had read there, he received his sight. I want you to see something too, is because we do have, I just want to show you an Acts in the ministry here too of laying on a hand, the book of Acts. In book of Acts, I think it's Acts the fourth chapter. I'm looking for. Oh yes, it's the prayer here. This is where I want to look. Acts. This is the prayer that the apostles prayed after Peter and John were sent back and told, don't preach in the name of Jesus all over this guy being healed, you know, and the gate beautiful. And all these people, you know, got joined the church of Jesus Christ, and the elders were upset. Listen, and this is part of the prayer. We're not going to read through the whole thing. Verse 29, the fourth chapter, says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Why? By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy child, your holy servant Jesus. So he said, what? By stretching forth your hand. See, we need to understand, he said, by God to stretch forth his hand. See, if God's stretching forth his hand, we lay hands on, because God's, that's what God's doing. God's laying hands. God lays hands on people. The laying on of hands, things are passed by the laying on of hands. And so, you know, it's really interesting. Brother Hagin was called up to heaven, and Jesus gave him a special anointing. And that special anointing Jesus had given Brother Hagin, he took his finger and touched the palms of Brother Hagin's hands and said, I've given you a special anointing. And he said, you do this. You tell people that you saw me and that I put my finger on the palm of both of your hands, and that healing power's in them, and if they'll, and I told you to lay hands on people, and if they will believe that you saw me and believe that I gave you a special anointing, he said, if they'll believe that, he said, when you lay your hands on them, they'll be healed. So, you know, he gave him a special anointing for laying on of hands. And what do people have to believe? They had to believe he saw Jesus. They had to believe Jesus touched his hands. Boy, you go around saying that stuff today, people get mad as a hornet. But it sure did work in his ministry. People who would believe it got healed. People get healed. All kind of miraculous stuff took place. People, if they believe that, if they believe that he saw Jesus and Jesus touched his hands. That happened to him. These guys here are praying for the Lord to reach forth his hand to heal. They want signs and wonders done. And one of the main ways is God stretches out his hand. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that in the earth, God operates. One of the ways, and one of the major ways he operates through us, is through our hands. You know, most of this is over. People get over the natural about all this stuff, and don't walk in the light of the Word of God. So we have this instant here of the laying on of hands, and what is the importance in the importance of that laying on of hands. We see the laying on of hands. I want to go over back up to Mark again. Let's go back to Mark 1. Mark the first chapter. These are things that we looked at before, but we're specifically identifying the laying on of hands here. In Mark the first chapter, we have in verse 40, he says, thou, a leper, came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, said to him, I'm willing, be clean. So we see Jesus ministering here by the laying on of hands. He touched him. He put his hand out there. This is one thing that you're going to have to do, is to understand. I mean, I've learned, you know, you can't, so many people, you know, that... I know many people don't understand it, but you go out touching people. You can't have a fear you're going to get sick touching people that are sick or being around people sick. It ain't going to work for you. Your fear will stop any kind of faith from working. It won't work. You can't have a fear. You know, you can't have a fear of touching lepers. You can't have fears. You know, I've been out mission trips and I've been places and I've touched things, touched stuff. But you have to. I mean, it's number one. You know, it's like I believe exactly like John G. Lake. I don't believe sickness and disease can live on me. I don't believe it can live on me. I don't believe it. I ain't supposed to. the same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead is being, I got resurrection. Resurrection's bigger than death. And you got to get over it. That's why people say, oh, no, no, don't hug me. I have a cold. I could care less you got a cold. Yes, you got it. You said you're going to keep it as long as you believe you got it. So you just go ahead and have the thing. But I ain't going to steal it from you. Don't worry about that. I ain't going to take it. I wouldn't steal your cold for nothing, man. People get all worried. Oh, my. You know, you're going to get sick. Oh, don't go around. You'll get sick. No, it's all right. I ain't going to get sick. Don't worry about it. You got to lose all that fear. You got to get that fear. But it has that. You don't lose it if you don't replace it with faith. You got to have something to replace it with, and it's faith. And but we have here, Jesus touched the leper. So this, he had a point of contact. Now, we found that Jesus did minister to some lepers, just told them to go and present themselves. He never touched them. He didn't touch them. But there's one thing that I've learned this in ministry. Unless the Lord tells me specifically to do something else, I touch people. That's what I do. Now, sometimes he don't tell me to touch people. Sometimes he just has me tell people to receive something right where they're at. They're supposed to do it that way. Just receive it. You can do that. But if he doesn't, then I minister by the laying on of hands. That's, you could always go. I mean, that's the place to always go, is through the ministering of laying on of hands, unless God says anything else. Because I know by Scripture, I am designated by God. Jesus himself told me to lay hands on the sick in his name and they'd recover. I know scripturally I can do that. The other things, I don't know if I, because he didn't do those things all the time, but I have to listen to the Spirit on what to do. But I know if he doesn't say anything, well then I know I can do that. I can lay hands on the sick. That's something that we can do. So, you know, that's one thing is you want to rely on that fact, that point of contact, the Spirit of God. You don't need anything special said to do that. You're allowed to do that, and if he don't back it, he don't back you up, I mean, that would be his problem, not mine. And you know, and another thing, I mean, other people have to, people have a response to it too. If they don't want, they don't believe, that's what we do, is we just tell people what we're going to do, lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, that we can do that. And it says they will recover. Now, you know, it's interesting because he didn't tell us to lay hands on the sick and they'd all get instantly healed. Didn't say that. He said they would recover. They would recover. And sometimes I've seen people instantly healed. Sometimes people recover. Over time, they recover. And we're supposed to minister to people in that way, and people are supposed to they're supposed to recover. And so we want to continue to minister to people. Let me see. I want to look here at Mark 7. We're going to look at Mark 7. I want you to see here. Mark 7. Let's go. In verse 32 of 7 says, then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside. Here we go, a guy took him aside. He took him aside, it says, from what? The multitude. Put his fingers in his ears, and he spat on his tongue. But he touched him. He put his fingers in his ears. You know? We're doing it by touch. And touch, I mean, when we lay hands on people, it wouldn't be anything wrong with laying hands on on the area maybe they're having the problem with. I mean, we see Jesus, he put his fingers here, he spit on his tongue. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Tell a guy, put out his tongue and spit on it. You know. Jesus would just be run out of town today. He'd never survive. The TV preachers would never have Jesus on their show. They'd never allow Jesus on the show. Because he might pull something like that. And then they'd have to cancel on the air. They would want to put that on the air. Hold it, we ain't putting that service on the air. No. Oh my. Say, it don't matter how many people get healed. No, we just can't have that. Our culture don't allow that. We're not allowed to have that. You know, we're such a clean bunch, you know. I'll tell you, I'd rather have Jesus spit on me every day than listen to half the stupid stuff that these guys preach. So we see, but the touching, and I want you to see that, is the areas of touching. So Jesus, touch with people. It is not a, and I want you to get that, that it's not some kind of just a formality we go through or thing like that. It is an actual contact transmission. It's one of the things that you need to do is where your area and my area of faith is this, is we need to believe that we have something that we're going to pass on. See, most people don't believe that they have anything. Peter is a gay, beautiful, he said, I don't have any money, but what I do have, he said, I got something. He said, I got the name of Jesus. And you know what he did? He touched the guy, he grabbed his hand, pulled him up. He touched him. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, rise, walk up. He touched him, he grabbed the guy, stood him up, pulled him up. And so, but touching people, we have something to give. We have something to impart to people. It would be an absolutely a fraud or anything for Jesus have told the disciples that the person who believed on what they preached, that believer would lay hands on the sick the person would recover if God was going to be in it. We have to believe that, you know, we've been designated to do that. It will work. If I touch people, something is going to pass from me to them. Now, sometimes you feel things. I know sometimes I can feel the anointing flow through me. Sometimes I feel it stronger than I do in other times. One thing is I do know a person's faith has a lot to do with how much will flow through me into them. That can have a lot to do what the person's faith will do on the level that the person believes. Some people will pull a lot harder than others. I mean, I've ministered to people over the years and laying hands on one person, I could feel the power gone. You touch the next person and man, it's like zoom. I mean, I can feel it just, man, come right out of me, in them. And it's the person's response by faith. It's how they're responding by faith. And whether they're receiving it, and some people, they're operating in a lower level of faith. So you always want to teach people so they develop, so they can flow with it. But always understand that you have the power of God. You got something in you to transmit to others. And we do it through God takes it through a vessel. God mostly always, you know, we look at Jesus. God anointed Jesus to minister healing to people. So, and then Jesus, if he wanted more healing done, he sent out the 12 and he sent out the 70. So in other words, it wasn't just done. God didn't just go do it. It had to be done through individuals. It was done through people. And you need to get a hold of that. You know, many people say, I want to be used by God. Well, for you to be used by God, you got to do something. That's how you get used by God. Well, one of the things is you do the things that the Word says we're supposed to do. But laying on of hands, God is not, you know, generally, most times sick are healed through the laying on of hands. And it's not transmitted to somebody, to people who are just, you know, praying for somebody and hoping God will do something. They don't believe they have something. You know, the Lord's told me, and I've walked in ever since, he said, when you lay hands on people, the healing power of God is there to heal them. It is there. Whether they receive it or not, he said, that's up to them. But he said, the healing power of God's there when you lay hands on it. He wasn't talking to me as a minister. He was talking to me as a person, as an individual. The healing power of God is there. Is it like with Jesus? Jesus, it said, you know, when he was in the house, it said the power of God was present to heal. There was no manifestation of it until somebody came along with faith and acted in faith, and then it manifested. But the power was present to heal. Because why? He was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Go out and do good, heal all, repress the devil. So whenever he was at, the power of God was present to heal. And see, we need to get over and realize that. If I'm told to go lay hands on the sick, well then the power of God got to be present to heal. It has to be. Or I couldn't go lay hands on the sick. I couldn't go do that. I would have to wait till the power came, till something happened, or God said to me, okay, you can do that, or you can't do that, or whatever. You know, we don't see Jesus, and we looked at these incidences of healing. We don't see Jesus at any time tell a person, well, hold it, I got to wait till I get the anointing. Just a minute. Let me go over here and let me go. You know, when I feel the power's here to do it, then woman. It was determined by the individual. When they wanted healed, he acted like, well, yeah, here it is. See, the church acts differently. That's why things don't work. And a lot of it is, and I'm sorry to say this, it is the low-level teaching that is being taught about healing in the church world today. Healing is taught on such a low level. It's low. The believer is no more told who he is and who they really are. Believers aren't told. They're told, you know, we're just trying to get God to do something. And, well, he loves us and just trying to see us. They got all this nice, mushy stuff. But there's no substance to it. And we don't, people don't know who and what they are. People, like, you know, you don't hear, you know, and if it's said many times, it's said in a very, you know, lackadaisical way. You know, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not a nice statement. That's a statement of authority. If I'm seated in the position, he is seated above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. And if I'm seated in that seat, then I'm above every principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. I am. Now, I realize that it's in my faith in Christ Jesus, but nonetheless, I hold the position. That's why he said the first thing, you can cast out devils. He didn't say you have to get anointing to cast out the devil. You have to get some special feeling. You have to get some, you know. He said, no, you can cast the devil out. Why? Because you're seated in that position of authority in Christ Jesus. You've been delegated that authority through that position. Whoever sits on that throne has that position. See, we're trying to get from God many times. The church is trying to get from God what we already have. We're trying to get him to do what he already did. We're trying to... And see, if people aren't taught that, well, we shouldn't expect much out of them. You know, they're not taught. They're taught down here, we're just trying to get all this stuff from God. We're not taught that God has, what God has given us. And that's one thing. It's like, I learned through Brother Hagin. I learned who I was in Christ. And, you know, and he had his little book in him. Those things, but I listened to teaching and stuff that he did. I learned who I was in this earth. You know? I mean, it's one of the things, I don't know yet if I'm going to teach in this area concerning the name of Jesus, but possibly on Sunday. You know, the Word of God says, as he is, as he's speaking of Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. I mean, get that revelation. I mean, you should be able to live on that one for the next 2 or 3 years if you get that revelation. As he is, so are we in this world. Well, now, I'm going to tell you what, I ain't hardly ever run into anybody really believe that. Most of the preachers, you know, I sit down and look at it and I think, my God, I need to sure believe that one a lot more. As he is, so are we. Ooh, my God. As he is, so are we in this world. Woo! And people are praying for power. People are praying. But see, it's getting over in those areas of right thinking changes everything. As he is. Didn't say as he was. It's as he is. Most people serve the Jesus, really, of the Gospels. They don't serve the resurrected Jesus, God of heaven and earth and under the earth. They see Jesus still as a man. I can look at his ministry as a man and I can learn things about God, but that's not who I'm serving today. That's who, I'm not seated in heavenly places with him. That Jesus died on a cross. There's a new Jesus in a sense. He was raised from the dead. He was born again. Do you know that? Jesus was born again. The Bible says so. The Jesus we serve ain't the Jesus that walked in the earth. He's the glorified God of heaven. That's who our Lord and Master, that's who we're in. We're not in the Jesus that walked in the earth. I'm not in that Jesus. I'm in the Jesus, the glorified God of heaven and earth, all authority. I sit on the same throne. You sit on the same throne. He does. As he is... So are we. Ain't that something? What a statement. I mean, it's an astronomical statement. I mean, if you really view what it says, we have said it so, use that scripture so casually. But when you really see what it says, my words, like Kenneth Hagin said, when you read what the Bible really says, it's like reading one of the Superman comic books. It's like, my, can this be real? Is this really true? He said, this is incredible. It is incredible. The church is a supernatural bunch of people, and the devil's done a good job of keeping it hidden. He's done a good job of keeping it hidden, but he ain't going to keep it hidden no more. There's a remnant of people rising up who are going to know who they are. It's been prophesied. There's a people rising up in this last day who are going to know their God. Hallelujah. And so, but we want to walk in that. We're going to talk more on the areas about the laying on of hands. We're going to look at, as we go on this teaching, because really it is the main way, and it's an effective way to minister to people. And especially, you know, you get around in areas where people have unbelief and stuff and things like that, you can, we know that you can get some things done through it. There's things you can do. Learn, though, from Jesus. You know, that's why I pay attention in the spirit when you're going to minister to people. Like, sometimes I know when I get around certain people and I get around a certain group of people, I know I could minister to an individual, but I know I can't minister to them with everybody else that's there. I know you can't do it. You can't. If you try to, you ain't going to get nowhere. You need to get the person away from the individuals. You need to get them away. Sometimes you can't get people away from the individuals. They want to stay with them, and you can't get them to. But you can only minister to people best you can. You can't do it. That's why you got to listen in the spirit, you know, what to do sometimes. You know, many times people disregard it. You get around, you know, an area of people and you just think, I just know, it's like inside, I just know. This, you know, things ain't hooked up. Things ain't hooked up. You just know it on the inside of you. Sometimes we just ignore that and go on to doing whatever we're doing. We've got to learn not to ignore those things. You know, like, find out what we need to do. You know, we don't minister just to minister. If it ain't going to work and you know it ain't going to work, why go through the routine like you're doing something? You know, it's like, my God. And that's one thing is getting over in the areas. Listen to God, but you can always lay hands on people. You can always do that. You're going to find this out. If you want to minister to somebody who maybe hasn't really been taught a lot about the areas of healing, or maybe you haven't even been taught about it. Per se, could be a Christian, a non-Christian. One of the most effective ways to minister to them is through the laying on of hands. It's something to do about, really, it helps in the areas of their faith by touch. It's a thing that helps people. And it's something, you know, about it. That's why I believe with Jesus, you know, naming it as one of the main way really is of us to minister, that any believer can minister healing, is by the laying on of hands in the name of Jesus. We can do that. And it is. It's a powerful thing. And if we treat it as it being as a powerful thing that it is, and we treat it and believe in it that way, I believe we're going to see a lot more things happen if we begin to treat it in the manner it's supposed to, instead of just we're going through a formality, and it's not a formality. It's a way of transmitting power from us to somebody else. God uses us. We're the conduits of God's power. That's what we are. The Holy Ghost lives inside of you. You know, I thought about it on Sunday morning. Eileen got up and read, you know, from the one psalm, and she read from about David, you know, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever and all that stuff, and making the statement about, you know, he would spend his days dwelling in God's house. And I'm thinking, you know, in David's day that was true, but we're so much better. I was thinking as she's reading it, we aren't trying to live in God's house. God made us the house, and he's living in us. You know, I don't want what David got. I don't want what David had. What David had was good in his time, but what David had ain't near as good as what Ed got. Hallelujah. Ed got God made me the house and moved in. And God's going to dwell in this house. That's a huge difference, isn't it? See, people think, oh yeah, that's really neat what David said. But David's operating in God living in a house, in this building over here, and I go down to that building. Man, we're so much better. You and I are the building, and God is dwelling with us every day. See, we're on a much higher, higher, higher level. And see, you got to watch. You can't sit. You know, there's things we can learn from the Psalms, but you got to watch some things. See, people get over there and read that stuff, and oh yeah, and what they get thinking, going to church, that's dwelling in God's house. No, it ain't. I don't dwell in God's house. I am God's house. Hallelujah. God lives in me. Get thinking right. You know, if there ain't enough power and you get somebody healed, the Holy Ghost ain't enough, what are we going to do? Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, we'll end there on that. But we'll look at that, the laying on of hands more. And I believe it's one of the things when you start operating in these areas of following out. I found this when you do the ones that God has, that He designates us specifically to do. When you start operating in them, like the laying on of hands, we do learn to do that and operate in by faith. Then usually other things start happening. And that's what I've always found out. You just start operating on those areas that He told us to, and we operate in those, then God starts demonstrating Himself in different ways. So it's always good to come back to the basics on these things and go back over them so we can walk in them. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank You this morning for again revealing the Word to us, taking these wonderful truths and showing them to us. And we appreciate, Father God, of the wonderful Holy Spirit teaching us of the place and position that we stand. And Father, I pray for us who are here, but also those who will hear, Lord God, as by downloading and listening to this. Father, I pray that people hear it, Father God, that they gain a revelation of who they really are and what they really are, Lord God. The position, Lord God, that each of us hold, the position that we stand, Father God. Father, it's Your great desire to use us and to reveal Yourself through us to others, and that You will do it. Hallelujah. As we respond to You just by faith, by acting simply upon the things that You told us to do. And Father God, I want to thank You again. Father, I pray for healing to come back to the forefront again. Healing, the healing ministry to come back to the forefront of the church again, hallelujah, in this day and time where Jesus Christ is magnified in the earth by the healing and delivering of the sick. And we, Father, we want to thank You for it, Father, because there's so many who don't have hope today. They're in situations. And Lord God, we see the medical science is doing what they can, but Father God, things are out of hand. And Lord God, the only way things get in back in hand is when men line up with You. And Father, we desire for You to show Yourself and reveal Yourself. And I believe without a doubt, You will. And we thank You for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.